You want to take your Bibles with me and turn them to Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. Ephesians chapter 6. As we continue on in this very short series on being prepared. If you remember, I think it was 3 weeks ago now, we talked about and as Peter talked and mentioned that one should not be surprised when fiery trials arise. Because God is clear that there will be trials, there will be hardships, there will be persecution that the believer faces, and Peter tells one to not be surprised. And in essence, then prepare, because we know that they are coming. We looked at in Philippians so far about how we can look at others' examples, both in Scripture and our fellow believers around us, to help strengthen and grow us, that we might live a life honoring to God, and even through trials and temptation, to see their example to help guide us as we see Christ through them. And then last week we talked about the Word of God and how we ought to be in remembrance of God's Word, that we ought to be reading God's Word if we are expecting to grow as believers and to be able to combat temptations and combat different things in our life in this world. We do that through the truth of God's Word, but to be in knowing of God's Word, we ought to be in it. And along the same lines this morning, we're going to probably a familiar passage for many of you that deals with spiritual warfare and continuing how we might be prepared in seeking after following God, even among trials, persecution, and hardships. And Paul here talks about a warfare or in battles that take place. And I think for many of us in growing up, I know me especially, war and battles were almost a game that we played as kids, and it was something that was fun. They have made board games after war. They've made movies. They've made video games. And a lot of times for kids, playing soldier, especially for boys, is a fun game to play. But as one grows and you start to learn the reality of what warfare is, it no longer is in the same presence of just being a game or something that is entertaining, but it is seen as something that is serious for the destruction that it brings. And so it is for us as believers, as we face spiritual warfare, it is a serious matter among us because of the destruction that it can cause in our life if we fail to defend ourselves and hold ourselves strong through God and His Word. And so this morning, as many of you might know, we go through this text here in Paul talking about spiritual warfare and how a believer ought to be prepared among the warfare that we face. And if you're there with me in Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 10. As it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Let's go and begin with a word of prayer and then go into God's word together. Father, I thank you for, again, the opportunity we have. And I pray, Lord, as we come before your word, Father, and we seek to see how we might be prepared among spiritual battles that we face. Father, I pray that we be mindful, that we take this as a seriousness as it is in our life. And Father, I pray that we seek and are honest with ourselves and maybe areas in where we are lacking defense or strength in our life, or maybe an area in where we have fallen. And Father, allow us to be honest with ourselves and with the Spirit as we go through this and seeing how we might need to, Lord, turn to you and to grow in you through this. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. As we look at this spiritual warfare that we as believers go through, it is important to first, as we look at this passage, to look at a believer's battle, to look at what is actually going on. As Paul gives a little bit of description on a believer's battle that we face. And we see here in the first four verses that Paul introduces a spiritual warfare that one faces as a believer. And Paul shows this as fighting. He shows this as a battle or war situation. And this is because we as Christians face conflicts. We face battles throughout our life. And, you know, the battles that we face are not of physical battles that he is talking about here. Yes, we as believers, we face physical battles. We face physical attacks sometimes. But what Paul is dealing with is spiritual attacks. He's dealing with spiritual conflicts that we come into contact with. As we see in verse number 12, as he says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers," and so on. This is talking about a spiritual battle, a spiritual warfare as we live our life day by day in trying to serve God. And this, I would say, is much more important than a physical battle in many senses, because this deals with our life as believer and standing firm in God and his truth, and not allowing ourselves to fall into sin or fall into temptation, but to stand firm. And so we are to look at this and see this real battle that is among us as we face day by day, as we face trials, hardships, temptations, and we face against evil powers that are working against us and tempting us, that we see it as something that is very serious, something that is very crucial in our life, because it is, as it affects our spiritual life day by day. As we go through this, we not only see that what the battle is being a spiritual battle, but we also see our adversary. Who are we fighting against? Who is our adversary? In verse number 11, we see that Paul says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And so the first adversary, the first person that we see that we are defending ourselves against, that we are standing against, is the devil. And the devil, as he is mentioned multiple times throughout Scripture, some have the notion that they believe that the devil is a fictional character, that he is someone who doesn't exist. But Scripture is very clear on who the devil is, and he is a real thing. And the devil, we see throughout Scripture, he is a tempter of sin. He is a liar and a tempter that tries to bring others away from God and towards lies. In Matthew chapter 4, we see the devil even trying to tempt Jesus Christ in trying to bring him away into sin. And we see that temptation, as it comes into the life of the believer, as these attacks come, the main focus that is being used is deceitfulness. It is evil, as it is separated from God, as it is against God. Throughout Scripture, we see the devil tries to entice one to sin. And we even see, going all the way back to Genesis, as he deceived and tempted and enticed Eve and brought on that sin that we see in Adam and Eve, in helping bring that temptation and the lies before that. And we must make sure that we do not allow this to happen to us as we live our life day by day, as we face in this spiritual warfare against the devil, that we not allow ourselves to fall into his deceitfulness, that we not allow ourselves to be enticed by what he has to offer. But that, as we've seen countless times in this passage, that we stand against the devil, that we hold strong, that we not allow ourselves to fall. And now the devil might be powerful, and Scripture doesn't give us preciseness of how much power the devil actually has, but we know that the devil does have power. But one thing that we can look at and know is that though the devil has some power to him, the devil is still a created being. He is not all-powerful. He is not all present. Those are attributes of God. The devil is a created being, not all powerful. Because the devil has this lack of power or limitations, we see that there's also employed other adversaries that kind of go hand to hand. And we see here in verse 12 a working of corporate menace, or a structure of evil workers. As verse number 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And so it paints a picture that there are demonic forces that are among the devil that help in aiding him, and to also that we fight against in this spiritual warfare. And we must not disregard this enemy at all. Again, there's many people today that believe that the devil and demons are looked as a thing of the past, or a thing of fiction, of, you know, that they were in old times, or they're separate from us, they're not present anymore. But Scripture refers to them many times, and they are real. We see the encounters with demonic forces throughout Scripture, especially through the New Testament, as you see Jesus and fellow disciples and apostles casting demonic beings out of certain people. And you see that there is others that work along with the devil to bring deceitfulness into one's life, to bring temptation and lies. And as they follow their leader and follow after the devil, they exercise, again, limited power as they try to oppose God and his truth. And we see many times, we can point to many examples where we see that they are limited in their power. But one that came to my mind was the story of Job, which many of you might be familiar with, as the devil came and brought great things against Job in hope that he would turn away from God. But remember, what did the devil have to do before he could affect Job? He had to go to God first. He had to get permission. The devil is not an all-powerful being. But he is strong. But do you know the God that we serve, the Savior that we trust in, is far more powerful than the workings of these demonic forces and of the devil. And as we stand, and we'll get there in just a second, and looking at the tools and the armor that we have, that as we serve God and as we do so faithfully in obedience, and we use the power and the tools that he's given us, that we can stand against the devil and completely turn away from them and the temptations that they bring. And this is sometimes difficult for us. I feel like facing spiritual warfares, we are people that often like to deal with the physical. Me personally, I fall to that. I say, man, I rather just have an issue in front of me that I can fix, that I can work on, that I can do something on in the physical realm. That way I am feeling like I'm doing something. But we as believers, as we'll go through here, see that we can also work on our spiritual life and that we can grow in helping prepare us. And when we are under attack, that we might turn to God and to grow and deal with it spiritually as well, just like a physical problem. And so we first saw our a believer's battle. And through that, we saw the seriousness of it. We saw the effects of a spiritual battle and our adversary. As we now turn to the last part of our text, we see a believer's defense. Paul called Christians to be strong and stand against these forces. In verse 11, standing against the wiles of the devil can be understood of holding to a position, not allowing yourself to be moved back, but to hold strong, to not give way to those who attack you, in this instance being the devil. We are not left to defend ourselves on our own or on our own power. And we see through this text that we do this by having the armor of God, that God has shown us how we might defend ourselves. And we are able to do this and defend ourselves because, first off, because of our salvation through Jesus Christ. As I talked about, as his point was labeled, a believer's defense, if you're sitting there and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, I can encourage you that the defenses that we talk about can be yours today. For one to turn away from sin, we first have to be saved through our Savior Jesus Christ, to be made righteous from him. And through our salvation in Jesus Christ, we can stand strong in him. And we can turn away from the powers of the devil and those who work with him. And looking at simply the armor that is mentioned here among a warfare, armor is such an important aspect. You know, a lot of times when we think of armor, we think back to medieval times, the suits of armor. We think back to even biblical times, as you maybe picture the Roman armor that was used during that time. They were crucial in a soldier's fight as it helped protect him. But even today in our modern warfare, we still use armor. They have bulletproof vests and different helmets with Kevlar and many different things. There is still armor used today because it is a great tool in defense against attack. And so in this passage, as we go through, we are going to be looking at six different things that make up the armor of God, which helps us stand against sinful forces. And This morning, we're going to touch on each one of them for a brief amount of time and giving you an overview of what that armor is and how you can hold strong in it. The first one that we see here in the armor of God in verse number 14, it says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." And so we see what would be known as the belt of truth there in verse 14. And this is important, as I'd mentioned, because the devil and this world uses lies to try to deceive us away from the truth of God. In John chapter 8, we see that Scripture calls the devil that he is the father of lies. In John chapter 8, in verse number 44, it says, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and a father of it." The devil that we face is a liar. He is a deceiver. There is no truth in him as he goes against God. The devil has used lies and deceitfulness countless times that we see examples in Scripture in trying to deceive one away from the truth of God and his word. It doesn't take much to look at the world around us and see the lies that our world and others are living in onto themselves and onto things. And often we are enticed or fooled into believing that sin is better than following God. Or that we believe a lie that this sin will not affect my spiritual life. Or this isn't that big of a sin. I feel like it's okay. Or you try to, on your own mentalness of your earthly or fleshly wisdom, try to excuse sinfulness in one's life. But what has happened there? You have deceived yourself and you have allowed lies to entice you to that sin. We need not to let ourselves fall into lies of the devil or this world. We as Christians know what truth is. The truth that we can have confidence in is that of God and his word. God and his word. For we see that God is truth. In John chapter 14, we see Jesus show that he is truth. In John chapter 14, in verse number 6, we see Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And we saw last week in Peter, in talking about the word of God, being a sure word, being truth of God, we know what truth is. It is our God and his word. And lies can sometimes be hard to see through. Sometimes there's lies that come upon us that, you know, they seem appealing or it's hard. Is that really a lie? What is that? Well, you know what we can do is we can compare it to the truth of God, which we behold, his word, the Bible. As we looked at 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse number 19 last week, that it is a great light unto our path, the word of God, that shineth about that we might reveal what is actually there. That we might measure the things of this world and the lies that might become us against the word of God. That we behold truth. That we live not by lies, but we live according to the truth of God and his word. Lies and deception are no match for one who lives in truth. If you are living your life by the truth of God and His Word, you're able to stand fast against lies. Continuing on in verse 14, again, we see the breastplate of righteousness. This represents a believer's righteousness in Christ and his righteous life that one lives in obedience to God. If you're a believer here today, you have the righteousness of Christ on you and the ability to live righteously apart from sin. We see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21, as it says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us," talking about Jesus, "who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." We as Christians have been made righteous through Christ our Savior. And as we have been made righteous, we have the ability to live a life that is unto righteousness. Probably just a couple pages back for you in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24, we see, "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." The new life that we have in Jesus Christ that we are to put on, that we are to live by, is that of a life that is unto righteousness and holiness. And so we are to put off the things of our flesh, the things of sin, the things of this world that we might have been living by, and to put on the new life that we have in Christ to live a righteous and holy life that is apart from sin. Satan is an accuser. Satan is one who tries to wiggle his way in. This world tries to accuse others. But can I tell you, if you are living a righteous and holy life, there is nothing that can be accused at you. The breastplate in biblical times, as it was worn, was often referred to as a heart protector. As soldiers would put on a breastplate to protect their chest and their torso, it was called a heart protector because they were trying to protect their hearts. When we allow sin into our heart, we allow great opportunity for attack. When we allow sin into our heart, even just a little bit, we allow the devil to have a foothold in our heart. And we begin to stray from God and living in obedience to Him. But one who lives a righteous life, one who lives apart from sin and holiness in the new life that we have through Christ, is one who allows their heart to be protected because their heart is after the things of righteousness and of holiness and after our Savior. We must not allow sin into our life as it begins, and it does, and even more so, begins to lead us away from God. It allows our heart to be turned from Him and turn to the things of our flesh or the things of this world. We are to keep our heart clean of sin and to live for God. And as we do so, we are protecting ourselves from attack. Remember, if we allow sin into our heart, if we allow sin into our life, we are giving the devil a foothold in our life. But if we live unto the righteous and holy life that we have through Jesus Christ, well, then we are, again, protecting our hearts and making sure that it is following after that which is holy, which is our God. Thirdly, as we continue on in verse number 15, we see the shoes of the gospel. In verse number 15, it says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Shoes can have quite a few different purposes when it goes on one's foot. One of which, of a reason why one wears shoes, is to have a firm footing. I'm sure many of us here, as we have lived in Wisconsin, have experienced snow, have experienced ice, know the great need for firm footing. How many times has the ice picked you up? It's because it was slippery. You didn't have a firm footing. The firm footing that a believer has, that we stand upon, that is the foundation for us, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us that Christ and his gospel that we live by, that we share, that we are saved through, is our foundation. It is our firm footing as believers. This gives us support and stability as we move about, as we are founded on that very foundation of our life. Because of this salvation and foundation that we as believers have, as you see in our text, you also see in verse 15, the gospel of peace. Well, in Romans chapter 5, we see that one is at peace with God through Jesus Christ, through the gospel, through that firm footing that we have. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Through our salvation and the salvation that we have in Christ, which is the very foundation and the firm footing that we have peace. And this peace also shows us that we are to be prepared, as well as we see here, to be a witness, to share the gospel, as verse 15 says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel." That we are to take that firm footing that we have, that very foundation that we have, and be prepared with it. The devil will oftentimes try to make us stumble or tremble by fear. But we as a believer, what fear do we have of the devil when we stand on the firm foundation of our salvation through Jesus Christ? There's no need to fear. There's no need for us to be slipped up or stumbled, because we stand on a true foundation of Jesus Christ. That is truth. And so we ought to have that as our core, as our foundation, as our footing. And as we build upon that in learning of God's word, but that we keep that firm and sure foundation, that we might not be tripped or slipped up by the devil. Number 16, we see it, the next one of the armor of God. We see the shield of faith. In verse number 16, we see, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." This is the only piece of armor that Paul emphasizes here. So it is assumed that it has some pretty high importance to it. A shield is a protector from many attacks, close and far. Now, the breastplate is also a protector as well, as it protects against different attacks. But the shield is both an offensive and defensive protector against yourself and the harm that would come. And, you know, this is an active defense piece of armor. For the believer, we see this shield of faith. This is referring to a believer's faith being lived out day by day and trusting in God through all aspects of our life. living by faith in God who protects us, who guides us. And during times of trials and suffering, it can be hard to continue. It can be hard when things come about us, maybe things of fear, maybe things of worry. But we are able to quench the fiery darts of those attacks as we have faith in our God and live for Him. In Matthew chapter 14, we see the account of Peter walking on water. And probably a familiar story to many of you. As Peter called out to Christ, who was walking on the water, "Lord, can I join you?" And Christ said, "Come on, come out and walk on the water. Come to me." And Peter, beginning to walk on the water, he had faith in Christ Jesus that he would be able, through his power, to walk on water. Even though Peter was a fisherman who knew that one does not walk on water, he probably had many experiences that contradicted that assertion. But he had faith in Christ. And he stepped out of the boat and began to walk. But what happened? There was a storm that was roaring around Peter as he walked on the water. And Peter began to become fearful. And he allowed that fear to get a hold of him. And he began to doubt. And we see he begins to sink and he cries out to Christ and he said, "Lord, save me." And Christ pulls him up and says, "Ye of little faith." Because even though there was great storms around him, he was to have faith in Christ, who has the power to hold him above that water. The same is for us as we live our day by day, as we live our life. That there is a lot of times things that worry us. There's a lot of times things that bring us fear that come into our life, or different attacks that might come about us that bring us even trembling. But we know the truth of God's word. God tells us, one, we see that he is all powerful. We see his promises. We see the salvation that we have. We see that God says that he will never give us more than we cannot handle through his power as we live our life. He tells us of our great hope that we have in Christ Jesus, of our salvation, that we have no need to fear death even, because we know where we will be going. We are to have faith in God day by day, in his will, in his plan, in his power. And what sometimes happens is there becomes attacks or you know, when we go through hardships or great trials, that we begin to become fearful or uneasy. And we begin to doubt. And that doubt that is brought in, it is brought in by lies. And saying, "Man, I don't know if I can get through this," even though God tells us that he will help us, that he has a perfect plan for those who love him. And you begin to doubt, and those attacks take hold, and you falter. We are to have faith in our life. We are to trust in God day by day, in his plan, in his word, and to live our life accordingly. A phrase that I love, and I've heard it a couple times, is that the Lord's plan for my life is better than anything I could ever come up with on my own. And that is 100% true. We don't always know the long-term plan that God has for us. We don't always know certain reasons why we go through trials and through temptations, outside knowing that trials bring spiritual growth. And it brings glory to God as we go through them in obedience. Do you know God knows? He has told us to have faith in Him and trust Him. To be securely in Him. And not allow doubt or fear or lies to interfere with that. But to have this living faith in God. As we continue now to verse number 17, we see helmet of salvation. As it says, and take the helmet of salvation. Very brief words. This is something that helps guard our head. This is something that helps guard our mind. As Christians, we have salvation and hope that comes from God, from Christ. In 1 Thessalonians, we see a little bit more of a description of the helmet of salvation that's described here in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, in verse number 8. As it says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. We see Scripture expand on the helmet there and going into the believer's salvation and hope that we have through Jesus Christ. We can have confidence in our salvation, and we have a living hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 tells us we have a living hope in our salvation through Jesus Christ that is undefiled, that will not defile, that will not fade away, will not become corrupted. And we are to have our minds, as we look at this salvation that we have and hope, we are to not allow our minds to wander away from that. Again, going back into wandering onto the things of this earth, or even wandering onto worriness or fear. But our minds are to be solely focused on God through the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ and the hope that we have in Him. We see this in 1 Peter chapter 1, and looking at the believer's mind, a believer's head. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, it says, wherefore gird up your loins of your mind, be sober in hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. To gird up our mind, to allow our minds to be sober, to not allow it to be focused on the things of this world, but to allow it to be controlled by God. And again, another passage that talks about this is Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. As it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. We are to have our minds with a focus on God. Not allow them to stray, but allow them to be focused and kept by Him. Lastly, in verse number 17 in our text, we see the last item that Paul mentions here. In verse 17, it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is the only dedicated offensive weapon that Paul mentions here. This is the Word of God. This is the truth of God, which the Spirit works in our lives. The sword is powerful and is living. Scripture is such a powerful tool at our disposal. We touched very heavily on this last week in the importance of God's word in the life of the believer. And again, we see the importance of it as we not only defend ourselves from attacks, but we also attack the lies and the different things that the devil brings upon us. The way that we can combat the devil and the way that we can and go against and attack the lies that he has is through the truth of God's word. The truth of God's word gives us defense against temptation and defeat. As we see that as Christ was tempted by the devil, in response, Christ, each time when being tempted by the devil, responded with, "It is written," and then spoke of God's word. When we know God's word, when we know his truth, it helps us see through the deceptions and temptations that are before us. But for us to be able to use the word of God, both in defense and offense, against the deceitfulness of this world and of the devil, that means that we first have to be in God's word. I cannot stress how much of an importance it is that you are in God's word on a regular basis. I cannot stress to you the importance of how crucial it is for the life of the believer to be in the truth of God. Through his word, we see how we are to live. We see the wisdom of God and how we might live our life day by day. We see that an answer to many of the things that we face. And as the Spirit helps guide us and move us through the word and helps us grow in our knowledge, that helps us grow in the doctrine of God and his truth, that we might have a more strong defense as we grow in the truth of God's word. But for us to be able to do that, you have to, and it's, I know it's so simple of an idea, it's so simple of a challenge, that for one to be able to use God's word as defense and attack against lies, they have to be in it. I know that makes so much sense. I know you'd say that it adds up. But there are so many believers today that neglect the word of God, that they allow themselves, just as they come on Sundays and Wednesdays, even to be the time where God's word is opened. Or maybe when you're in conflict, or maybe when you are in need of answers, you go and turn to the word of God. But we are to be in God's word constantly. We are to be meditating on his word throughout our day. We are to be in remembrance of it. But simply being, we must be in God's word. And I encourage you, if you're not regularly in God's word, to set up a time and to mark that time in your day that this is the time that I spend studying God's word. And protect that time. Do you think the devil wants a believer to spend time in God's word? Absolutely not, because it reveals the devil for who he is, a deceitful liar. Set apart time, if you haven't already, in your daily life. Earmark that time that this is when I am going to study God's word. And then protect that time. Don't say it's been a busy day and say, I'll get it tomorrow. Don't allow yourself to do that. Protect the time that you spend in God, with God in his word. Because it is so crucial in the life of the believer. One last thing I want to touch on that isn't part of the armor, but we see in the next verse that I think is something that should be in our life as well. In verse number 18, it says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Is that in our life as well, as we face attacks and we stand strong, not allowing ourselves to be pushed back, but standing in strongly in the Word of God and standing strongly in our life through Him. Of the need for prayer. When you are in need, pray for God for help. If you're in need of wisdom, pray for wisdom. James tells us that God gives wisdom to those who ask correctly, liberally. He gives it to them. Go to God in prayer. And then also a challenge, as we are fellow believers, as we see here, that we should also be in prayer for our fellow believers. To be able to say, man, they're going through some hardships. They're going through some trials. I should be in prayer for them. And we should. We should not neglect the power of prayer in our life either. And we should not neglect the time that we are able to speak with God. That is very crucial in our life as believers as well. And as you take time and study God's word, have part of that time to spend time in prayer with you and our God. As we've gone through these different armor pieces, and we see how we might hold our position and how we might defend ourselves from the devil, from lies and temptations, and that which is enticing. As you saw throughout this armor, that it takes work on our part to use the different pieces. Also, in verse number 11, we see in the very first part, put on the whole armor of God. We see that we are to put on the whole armor. This isn't to say, I got most of it on. I think I'm okay. I'm good. No. Scripture is saying to put on the whole armor of God, to strive after Him in every area that we see through His word. And allowing ourselves to be completely after God and His truth. That we might stand firm and that we might be able to defend ourselves from spiritual attacks. I can't tell you when the next attack or when temptation or, you know, when you will face hardships or persecution next. I can tell you that you will. Until the Lord calls us home or until Christ returns, we will face attacks. We will face deceitfulness that tries to work its way into our life. But I can tell you that we as believers, as we know that it is just a matter of time, that we are to always be wearing the armor of God. We might always be able to defend ourselves and hold our position and attack the lies that are brought among us. That we might stand strong in God and His truth and not falter or stumble away from God in deceitfulness and sin. And hopefully if there's areas in your life that you say, man, I need to work on that. I need to, maybe it's being God's word more. Take that time. Maybe it's a different area that the Spirit led in your heart. Don't wait to make that change. Don't put it off. But get right with God to even talk to Him before you even leave here today as well. In areas that you might need to grow in and to see. And dedicate yourself to say, I am going to work on that in my life, that I might be able to stand strong and that I might be able to serve God faithfully as I do so. Let's go and close in a word of prayer. Father, I thank You for Your word. Father, I thank You as we face attacks and we face deceitfulness and lies, that we are not left just on our own power, but You have given us great power that we use through You, Lord. That we go through Your truth. That we stand on firm footing of our salvation. And Father, I pray that if there be anyone who is struggling in a certain area, or there be anyone who is having difficulty, Lord, in a certain part that they might need to grow in, that they get right with you, that they dedicate themselves to growing in you in certain areas, Lord, that they recognize the problem that is among their life. And Father, I pray that we as a whole are ones who are standing firm for you and your truth, Lord, and that we are preparing ourselves for any attacks that might befall us. And I pray you give us strength as we do so day by day. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.